Well, Happy New Year. Not very happy, are you? Happy New Year. What a great, great way to bring in a new year. A time that we get to gather together, we get to celebrate, we get to worship, we get to praise the risen Lord. Many of us will begin the new year with New Year's resolutions. Some of you are just as ornery as I am and stubborn and hard-headed, and you'll say, I'm not going to start anything new on the New Year's because it's New Year's. I'm not going to do anything that I have to do because it's New Year's. I don't like to do that on New Year's. That's why my wife hates Valentine's Day. You mean it's the day that you have to tell me you love me and do things nice for me? I don't want you to do anything for me. And I'm telling you what, that's the most terrifying day of the year. Think about it. She tells you she doesn't want you to do anything, but you have to gamble and risk if you don't do anything. Is this the year that she wanted something? It's terrifying. I don't sleep for weeks leading up to Valentine's Day. But maybe that's where you are with New Year's. I'm not going to do anything new. It's New Year's. But it's new year. It's a new year. It's not an old year. It's a new year. And you have an opportunity to start things new. Maybe this is the year you want to learn something new. I told my wife I wanted to learn a musical instrument at one point in time. She has prayed that I never want to do that again. Maybe this is the year that you want to learn a new language, a new instrument, a new something. I want to learn how to blow a duck call better. That means it requires hours and hours of practice. So you can pray for my bride. What are your New Year's resolutions? What's something new that you would want to do? What's something old that you would like to do better? As a family, we sat down last night in a circle on the floor, and we just talked about things that we would like to see in 2017. What are some things that each and every one of us would like to do? It's fun to listen to our children talk about the things that they would like, that they want to expect, they want to do in 2017. We talked about as a family, we would like to do some sort of mission trip, whether that's local, or that we would go and serve as an entire family in a homeless shelter. That we as a family would spend those times investing. I said I wanted to date the fire out of my wife this year. My kids skrilled in fright that I was going to set their mom on fire. As a family, we have desires to do something different, to do something new. As a church, we have a desire to really impact our community. That we would no longer be a church that's just revolving about us and ourselves, but that we would be First Baptist Church that reaches Sepulpa, Oklahoma. That we make an impact. So what that requires from us is you can't do the same things, the same way, the same thought process as we've done before. I desire to get in one of the best shapes I've ever been in my life in 2017. I played college football. I was able to eat anything, anytime, anywhere, and I couldn't gain weight. At the time, I hated it. I wish I had it at this time. I want to push myself. I want to do things exciting. I have the opportunity and been blessed by our church family to get the opportunity to go snow skiing here in a couple weeks. Last year, I was able to go 63 miles an hour. This year, 65 is the goal. And I'm thinking about wearing a helmet this time. I want to push myself. I desire to expand my mind for Christ. So how many times do we just glide into something new? Without really stopping, taking this opportunity, a gift from God, as a refresh, kind of a hit that refresh button on your browser. Everything's been slow, it's been bogged down, you just delete everything off. and then you just start again. Here's the amazing thing about the text this morning. We've been walking through Colossians for a couple months now, and we are in Colossians 3, starting in verse 18. And we've gone through some of the deepest, most challenging theology you could find in all the New Testament, where it really talks about who Christ is and all that he has given to us. And we just have barely scratched the surface. How he's the creator of all things. How he holds it all together in the palm of his hands. And then Paul transitions from this deep theology, which is so rich of evangelism and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he transitions into practical. But it's still deep. It's still rich. Today he takes this scripture, this passage, and he takes it outside the context of the walls of the church. He takes it out of the seminary classroom, and he takes it right into your bedroom. He takes it into the kitchen. He takes it into the living room. He takes it into your work today. Maybe today is a time that we just come with an open heart to what does God have in store for us today? What is it he wants from you and I to start new in 2017? What is it he wants us to expand upon in our walk with Jesus Christ? What is it that he desires for us to really dive deep into being a blessing to others? Our spouse, our children, our employees or employers. What is it he is asking for us to begin anew and afresh? Would you stand as we honor the word of God and read Colossians chapter 3, 18 through chapter 4, verse 1. Wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants or slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master who is in heaven. Thank you. You may have a seat. Paul dives right to the heart of Christianity, and he starts in the home. I've said this many a times, and I want you to understand my heart. I believe with everything in me as a church, there are things in our society that we take a stand against. There's no questions. But so often, the church will stand against things, and the lost world will know what they stand against, but will have no clue what they stand in favor of. I believe with everything in me that abortion is as sinful and as wrong of a thing that we could have in our society as possible. It's taking the image of God, even in that infant state, and it's crushing that life, and it's taking that away. And I believe we ought to make a stand and do things that help get rid of such an injustice to those that God created in his own image. I think that homosexuality comes and it hits to the core of who we are as those created in the image of God. It's the highest form of idol worship, of idolatry in our country that we have. And it makes such a lightness of it in the world that we live in. It's a super minority that has a majority of a voice in our country. But if we don't address the home, fighting those fronts are water balloons on a forest fire. They make an impact, they make a difference, but if it doesn't start in the home, then it has no hope. Think back. Think back to the time that Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. Today in our country, in 2017 in the United States of America, doesn't even hold a candle to the evils that were on the streets of Colossae at this time. Oh, it's horrible. It's getting worse and worse. It was a whole lot worse before it got worse than it is today. I can look around the room and I can see those that have served in the mission field that lived in countries that have gone and visited and done mission works, that they would give anything to live where we live today. It's not as bad as it can get. When that comes, no one can help anyone. There's no first aid. There's no Red Cross. There is no disaster relief, because everyone is in need of help at the same time. So not all hope is lost. At this time, wives were treated less than that of slaves. If you murdered your slave, there is the possibility of repercussions. But a wife, zero. All you had to say was, she burnt the toast. You could get rid and dismiss, and she was less than property. Property at the time had more value than a wife at this time. In both cultures, in the Jewish culture and in the Gentile culture, they saw wives as less than. If you remember back to years ago when we were studying the book of Ruth, and Naomi had absolutely nothing, and thus Ruth had to marry someone within the family. The culture was degrading to women, but not Christianity. Not Christianity, because Paul writes. And so when he writes these words, wives, submit to your husband as is fitting to the Lord, it was the biggest shock to their ears that they could have heard. This was completely contrary to everything in their society. Doesn't matter what you root for, what collegiate team you root for or want to root for or wish you rooted for. It would be like someone coming and telling you that you have to root for the team that you dislike the very most. That much of a shock, and you would step back, and someone told Keno he had to start cheering for the University of Texas. He would say, take me now, Lord Jesus, take me now. I mean, it's that much of a shock when Paul writes and says, wives, submit. What's the word submit? Carries with it great power. It doesn't carry with it domination. It doesn't carry with it evil. It doesn't carry with that whipped puppy mentality. It comes with great power, because no one can make you submit, but you freely choose to submit to your own husband as it is fitting to the Lord. That is, as you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ in how you submit to your husband. And then he continues on, and we're not going to go through all the ways and hows of a wife can submit to a husband, but then it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. The word love here is the word agape, a sacrificial love, a love of dying to self. Wait a minute. You're telling me I have to love this woman who in my culture, in my training, in my upbringing, was really just a piece of property? The ideal wife at this time was one that really never ever went out of public, into public, was that was stayed home, that stayed and did everything that you wanted. She had her own separate quarters she lived in, and you had yours. And now Paul is saying, husbands, love your wives in a sacrificial way that you will die to self. Guys, you know, one of the greatest ways you can love your wives is just to simply to listen. I didn't say hear. I said listen. That you listen. Sometimes you have no clue what they're saying. But you really pay attention to things that matter to you. I talk and I listen and I joke about how much I enjoy hunting. But right now it's duck season. My oldest son and I, we're hooked. We enjoy it. I finally convinced my wife that we have been together for just shy of 20 years, married for over 13, and she went duck hunting with me for the very first time. I kept telling her, I can take a heater, and you can have snacks, and you can talk. So she was almost in, but then I said, it's cold and next to water, and she wanted to back out. But we take her hunting, and I'm explaining to her and my kids, the other kids that are there with us, we're all there in a duck blind, and we're all talking, we're having this conversation, and I said, did you hear that? I didn't see anything. I didn't know anything was coming. I said, did you hear that? They didn't have a clue what it was. But a duck makes a distinct sound when it flies over the top of you. It can be a couple feet, a couple hundred feet. It has a distinct whistle to their wings flapping. And I'm listening. And I'm listening for that sound. Then I start making duck calls. And I listen to what calls they say back to me, all in the efforts of trying to entice them into my honey hole so I can shoot them. I think it's a win-win combination. I win, my family wins, ducks, not so much. But I'm listening for a faint, faint sound. Pick whatever you want to hunt. Pick whatever vehicle you want to work on. Vehicles make a distinct ting, and guys can hear it and say, uh-oh, you have potential problems coming up. Sometimes guys will say, honey, do you care if I go hunting? And she would say, fine. And you are so thick-headed that you think fine means fine. And no wife has ever said fine and ever actually meant fine. Listen to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Husbands, how many times do you give an answer to your bride before you actually hear or listen to what they say? Not just the words, but the meaning, the intent, the heart behind what is being said. How often do you listen to that intentional about it? I didn't know I was going to say this, and I hope I get forgiveness and grace. I go off the policy, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. But one of our families in our church, he hunts, and his wife had a shirt that said, love me as much as you love deer hunting. I did not like her when she posted that on social media, and my wife saw it as well. But it's true. Sometimes we put priorities in things, and we act no different than the first church that Paul is writing to when he says, husbands, love your wife. Agape love, sacrificial love. Now listen, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. That word obey can be a little tricky, but it's the word that really represents the idea of listen under. Maybe in our Okanese that we have to speak sometimes as Okies. Listen up and listen intently is what the word obey means. It's really hard to obey something that you don't know what's going on. If you have kids, you know what this exactly means. You tell your child to go do something and they halfway listen and thus they partially do what you've asked them to do. Hey, I need you to go clean your room, but before you do that, get your brother to come downstairs. All they heard was, go to your room and tell your brother to go upstairs. Wait a minute, what? He was there? What? Listen intently. There's a theory called Hebrew creation theory. And I started to learn and study about this. The very first seminary class I ever took, I took one online class before we moved to Fort Worth. It was all on ethics. Dr. Craig Mitchell started to write this theory that no person, man, woman, or child, can ever be fully satisfied, fully enjoying the life that God has given them until they do what He's called them to do. I believe with everything inside of me that I am created in the image of God, and that I have a God stamp on my life until I pursue what God has called, gifted me, and challenged me to do, that I'll never have fulfillment. It didn't say ease, it didn't say comfort. It said fulfillment and true joy. It might be the most difficult task and challenge ever put before me, but if it's what God has called and created and gifted me to do, it's going to be the most enjoyable of all. Sometimes it's the most difficult things that bring the most enjoyment in life. When's the last time you've told and sat around a family gathering that you sat down and you had a long, detailed, in-depth conversation about a roller coaster ride? Really doesn't happen, does it? They're fun, unless you hate them. Then I'll pray for you as well. They're fun, they're enjoyable. I grew up, we went on every kind of roller coaster there was. But there was zero investment on my part, especially when Dad bought the tickets, right? There's zero investment. Show up, I go through something super exciting. But about those hunting trips that just turn awful and you had to hike for hours and hours and hours. My wife and I were newlyweds, and I promised her I'd take her shopping on Black Friday. That's the kind of saint that I am. And we were at my family's house, and we had baby nieces and nephews on my side, and she got to playing with them. And I said, all right, it's time to go. We're going to go. And all my brothers and dad were going hunting. And she said, no, I kind of want to stay here. I want you to go hunt. And I thought, wow, did I hit a home run when I married this one. And then she comes up close to me, and she gives me a hug goodbye, and she kissed me on the cheek. She says, but don't come home without a deer. And that's a challenge. And that's the kind of challenge every hunter wants in their marriage. And so where I'm out hunting, and I'm sitting in this spot, and a deer comes out, and it's every bit of 400 to 500 yards away. And I would love to be able to tell the story that I shot this deer in one shot, dropped it, it gut self and carried itself to the truck. But what story is that? There's no fun in that. My clip held five, and the second time I reloaded that clip, I finally dropped that deer. I was praying that I had enough ammo in my bag to even get the job done. And so I get this deer killed, and I take care of the gutting process, and my brother comes. He came from a far walk away, and he came, wow, you finally got one after that ammunition round that you went through. I said, yes, I did. The truck was about a half a mile straight north of us. But in my mind, the road was about 300 yards across this field, and it was already dark. I said, we could just walk right across this field. It'll be enjoyable. He said, oh, yeah, that'd be great. No problem. We only have to carry it 300 yards as opposed to 500 or half a mile, give or take. Well, about an hour into this walk, in mud up to our knees, I was really glad my brother unloaded his gun as well. He is so mad, so frustrated, and then giggling and laughing. It took us 2.5 hours to walk to the closest road, but we're too stubborn to stop and turn around and go back the way we came. Do you know how many times we talk about that story? We talk about that difficult, that challenge, that what it was, and how much memories there were built in that. Don't shy away from the difficult. Don't shy away from the challenge that God has for you, because it's going to be a lesson that you will learn, that you will utilize the rest of your life, and you will have joy. Just because something seems exciting, how many times do you say it to yourself? I just wish this was easy. I just wish I didn't have to go through this difficult thing. I wish I just had it easy for the moment. But no one talks about roller coasters. They talk about life that was lived through adversity and how we came out stronger and better through the other end. He says, children, obey, listen under. Now here's how these three verses all connect. This is the home. This is you in your house as you're cooking dinner, as you're preparing a meal, as you're putting your kids to sleep, and you're playing hostage negotiation in reverse. You're begging for them to stay in their room. You'll give them anything they want. Just stay in there. And you're hoping that they will, that you can have 5 minutes just to breathe of the evening. This is saying, listen, wives, you have a role. Husbands, you have a role. Children, you have a role. Doesn't mean any one person is superior than the other. Listen, that gift of a child was from Jesus Christ. They are not yours. They're just yours to be a steward of in how you invest into the kingdom of God. That is God's child. It's not mine. I don't have ownership of the gift that he gave to me. I surrender it to him. I want to hold on to it. I want to strangle it at times. I want to love it at times. I want to cover it and care for it. My bride is a gift from above. She's not mine. I'm not hers. We are one with the Lord. And how we function as a family directly impacts our relationship with Jesus Christ. How we function as a family directly impacts our sanctification and how we are growing in Christ. If I'm walking in the Spirit, you can't offend me, can you? If I'm walking with Jesus Christ in a close, intimate relationship, there's nothing you can say or do that would offend me and upset me. So why do I let my wife upset me at times? Why do I think that the way she said something has an evil connotation to it, has an evil twist, that she's trying to manipulate me and get at me or get underneath my skin because she wants to see how hot and frustrated and mad I can get? That's not who she is. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love trusts in all things, hopes for all things. To the pure in 2 Timothy, all things are pure. To the evil, all things are evil. Maybe when she says that and I think evil, it's probably more an indication of my lack of walk with Jesus Christ because I see the evil in it and not the good in it. See, how I impact and how I treat and how I behave in my home directly impacts how I walk outside of my home. Oh, I can be an upstanding, rightful, righteous person in front of everybody else. But when it's me behind closed doors, that's what matters the most. The home is the battlefield. Think about this next verse. Slaves, bondservants, obey everything. Obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with security of heart, sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Paul says this to a population that is about 50% slaves. They had to stop making the slaves wear all the same type of clothing and uniform so that they would not realize that they could take over all of Rome and Colossae if they wanted to. That's how many people lived in slavery. And if a slave ever tried to escape, one of two punishments was given. A brand of a huge F on the top of their forehead that stood for fugitive, that they had to live with the rest of their life, or they were murdered. No questions asked. And now Paul is saying, slaves, obey. Not with eye service, not just halfway doing it, but obey those that are over you. We don't have that in our society today, and so that would fit more along the lines of employment. Don't work as if just someone's watching you, and when they quit watching you, stop working. I was 15 years old, and I got to go work with my dad. My dad worked at St. John's Hospital in Tulsa. He was over all the building renovations, power, and maintenance there. And so I got a job in the carpenter shop. And my job was to go and help the carpenters that would, they would buy all the houses around the property, and they would remodel them and fix them. And so I had to take all the popcorn ceiling off this remodeled house. Whoever invented popcorn ceiling, I pray for them daily. I had to scrape it all off by myself. And so I figured out, they showed me the trick. If you get a warm spray bottle and spray a big section of it, let it set for just a few moments, and then you scraped it, it came off great. The floors were bare. It could all fall down. We cleaned it up afterwards. It was awesome. So I had some scaffolding set up, and I sprayed this huge area, and I had to wait for a few minutes, and I fell smooth asleep. My dad just so happened to be checking the properties. Instead of walking through the front door, because I had done this multiple times at this point in time, I knew when someone came to the front door, I'd wake up and I'd just start scraping. No big deal. They wouldn't know what happened. I was three rooms away. My dad peeked his head through the window and saw that I was asleep, and so he came through the back door where I was. He came in real slow, and he grabbed that scaffolding and shook it so hard that I come flying off of it. I was working just for it to be seen. How many times do we do that? How many times do we just work just enough to get by? Just run fast enough that we don't get in trouble, that we might just have to outdo one other person or two other people so we're not the low man on the totem pole. How in the world does that bring any glory to God? Now listen, I started out saying that in our culture, we don't even come close to that culture of Colossae. Do you see anywhere throughout Scripture where Jesus or Paul or any of the New Testament writers say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go up to the capital of Rome, and I want you to go to the capital, and I want you to picket, and I want you to have all your signs, and I want you to throw this big tantrum, and I want you to get your way by manipulation and bullying them into doing what you want and abolish slavery. Didn't happen that way, did it? You don't see anything throughout the Scriptures that say that. He says, why don't you as slaves address your own hearts? Why don't you realize that you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't serve man with eye service. Don't just work halfway. That Christians ought to be the best employees and employers on the face of the planet. But in my limited experience, Christians were some of the worst employees that I ever had. They'd want to show up late. They'd want to stay in the truck longer to continue their theological debates and why I'm paying them to have this debate instead of doing the job that I have for them to do. They'd want to show up late or leave early, and as a Christian, I'm supposed to be okay with that. Until we had what some would say a coming to Jesus meeting. And I said, you guys treat me like garbage in how you work. We're supposed to be brothers in Christ. Christians have a very bad rap as being those that work with great diligence and excellence. We're just getting by. Most restaurants can't stand Sunday crowds, can they? Because we go in and we expect, we demand, we're rude. We think we're a Christian. We sacrifice. We listen to that ugly preacher for 45 minutes just go on and on and on. You owe me a good meal, hot, fresh, and do everything I want. Paul says, do everything for the glory of God. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I would ask you to highlight, bracket, star, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've looked and you've paid attention as we've read through this, there's a couple of big commands. Wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, obey. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Bondservants, obey. Whatever you do, work heartily. All these action imperative verbs are all connected to the verb, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Wives, when you submit to your husband, you're submitting to Jesus Christ. Husbands, when you love your wives, you're loving Jesus Christ. Children, when you obey your parents, you're obeying Jesus Christ. Employees, slaves, bondservants, when you submit and obey those that are over you, you are obeying Jesus Christ. But you don't understand. You don't understand. My husband is a taterhead. He's just hard to live with. He's not a Christian. He doesn't do what I ask. I have to be the one that leads. I have to make these decisions. Wives, submit to your husbands. There's no other clarification. As fitting to the Lord, meaning if a husband is leading you into sin, then you have that freedom. If he's leading you against your personal desires, not so much. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh. Don't love them when you feel comfortable and when it's inconvenient to you, but love your wives. Children, obey your parents. But they don't have a clue what's going on in life. I mean, dad doesn't even know how to turn on any kind of electronic today. He doesn't know anything about anything, but obey. When you work, work heartily as for the Lord, because you are serving Him. Verse 25, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly, fairly, knowing that you have a master in heaven. That whatever you do, you're serving Jesus Christ. And if those that do wrong to you and you want justification, you want to fight for your rights, that's God's job and not yours. Because your relationship with Him will directly impact how you treat everybody else. Maybe in 2017, it's the year that you as a wife are going to make it a conscious effort to submit to your husband. I believe that most of those wives that say, I'm very good at submitting, are usually the worst that are at it. And those wives that say, I'd struggle with that, are some of the best that do with it. Because if it's not a wrestling match, if it's not a struggle, then you probably have got off kilter a little bit. Husbands, love your wives. It's easy to love my wife. She's gorgeous. She's sweet. I mean, she can cook anything and make it taste great. Husbands, listen and love your wives. Don't be harsh. Children, maybe this year is the year that you really put that obeying, listening under into action, where you trust that you are going to follow and listen to your parents. That you don't neglect. We teach our children that delayed obedience is disobedience, because delayed obedience to the Word of God is disobedience. Fathers, do not provoke or do not be harsh with your children that become discouraging. They're not yours. They're God's. They're a gift from God. Treat them with great kindness and gentleness, but bring discipline. Bring discipline into the relationship. Because discipline is love. Punishment is not. Shame is not. But discipline is love. How you work, how you treat those that work under you, is a huge testimony to who you are in Christ. Maybe this year is a year that new isn't a bad word. New is a refresh, a kickstart. Maybe it's time to change some things that haven't been going quite as well. You know, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I just think that's the definition of stupidity. And I feel quite ignorant at times by doing things the same way, but I expect a different result. Because it should be easy. It should just become natural. But God wants to grow me. He wants to do something great in my life, and I have no clue what it is for 2017, but I'm going to be willing to take whatever it is. I believe with everything in me, He has something great in store for us as a church in 2017. Because that's what He desires, is for the kingdom of God to be expanded and glorified, and He wants to begin in your home, in my home, and in our church family. Are you willing to submit and serve Lord Jesus Christ?